in seven times longer than you've become rid of it. When others call you, say no. Never will I come off these tracks.
Allah.
Discipline. Praise be to Allah. So now, so much for those, for this kind of those. Qarar. Don't forget the word qarar. Yes, qarar. It is a peaceful state, a state of rest, where the soul finds its peace. You see? And when one comes to that state, then God helps them and aid his development and goes them on to his final destiny of maturity.
Allah.
But until he comes into that state, no good. Had to come in that state first, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The life, the sperm, is placed in that place. Qarar, Makin. It's placed in that place. And then from there, it begins to develop. But without coming to rest, settling, and resting, no development. Some of us think we're going to develop and we're just running all the time. Can't stop to give us our family. You think we're going to grow. You're not going to grow. You have to first become peaceful in yourself. Become peaceful in yourself. And have patience. When you get that qarar, then you have patience with people. Patience with wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. Now let us have some comments. And after I'm going to open for just free discussion. But now we're going to go to Hadith, Sunnah of the Prophet. And I know most of you might not have these books, but that's okay. I'll read the book. If you don't have it, it's okay. I didn't ask you to bring these books. In fact, I didn't even plan to bring them myself. I planned to bring some material. But it so happened that this was in the book. The book that I have in my hand now is the volume 3, Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the collection of hadith by Bukhari. To start with the chapter, all of what you read now is the obligation we have to respect the public way, to respect the road, etc. This, in this case, is the road that is used by more than you. It's not your private way. It's the public way. But remember now, while we're talking on the respect for this way, Allah says, and the Prophet has taught us, that everything has its respectability. Respectability. There's respect to everything. Everything. This thing, the floor, everything, an animal. I saw a cockroach. The cockroach? You say, oh, I'm not supposed to respect the cockroach? Yes. The cockroach. If you catch somebody killing a cockroach out in the field, one cockroach falling on the ground, and he has to go there and just stomp it.
Yeah.
Something wrong with it.
Yeah.
we fall into those habits, you know, without, you know, good thought. But the religion is intended to make us think, you see, so we'll have the best habits. Spilling wine on the road. Babu sabul hamra kamra sitariya. Filling the chapter, filling the hamra, wine on intoxicating drink on the road. Narrated Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. I was the butler for the people in the house of Abu Talha. God be pleased with him. And in those days, drinks were prepared from dates. Allah's apostle, peace and the blessing be on him, ordered somebody to announce that alcoholic drinks had been prohibited. Abu Talha ordered me to go out and spill the wine. I went out and spilled it, and it flowed in the streets of Medina. Some people said, quote, some people were killed and wine was still in their stomach. On that, the divine revelation came, saying, on those who believe and do good deeds, there is no blame for what they ate in the past. That's the 5th chapter and the 93rd verse. So what do we get here? Here we get that people at that time had wine, they were drinking wine. And some of them that were killed, wine was still in their stomach. Now, that gives us the picture that comes to mind is that believers who were killed, some of them must have had their stomachs torn open. And it must have been obvious that the smell of wine was there, that they had wine or liquors in their stomachs. Mm-hmm. But since the revelation hadn't come previously, strictly forbidding it, then they were forgiven. They were forgiven. So this is very clear, although we read in the Quran of how the order came to stay away from raping liquor, the Sunnah makes it very clear that people were Muslims and still drinking. Yes. The Quran said, Allah said in the Quran, and do not come to prayer under the influence of intoxication. Yes. So, you know, somebody could say, we could rationalize that. Well, that was just telling them not to do that, because Muslims shouldn't do that. But Muslims weren't drinking. Yeah. You know, we right. could rationalize.
That's right.
You know. But the historical report tells us that, yeah, Prophet Muhammad, he was teaching people and converting people and accepting them with their habits of drinking. And it was only at a certain point that drinking was condemned. In fact, the people carried on many habits that were not acceptable for Muslims. And gradually the orders came to Prophet Muhammad from God, telling them stop this. Mm-hmm. And most of the serious habits were not stopped at once.
That's right.
They were stopped gradually. Mm-hmm. A revelation would come pointing to the wrong in the thing, mm-hmm. as it was with liquor. First the revelation said, don't come to the prayer which is under the influence of these intoxicating things. So that tells us that there's harm in it. God doesn't want your mind, God wants your mind clear when you come for the service. Or when you pray, or when you come for the service. He wants your mind clear. So a real believer just being told that would see that wine, intoxicating things, are not good,
and that God would love him better if he didn't take them at all. Now, most likely, many Muslims who were doing that, all the people weren't doing that, just like it is now. Everybody wasn't drinking. I'm not talking about Muslims, I mean, people who think it's okay to drink. Even then, all of them don't drink. So it was the same back then, all of them didn't drink. But those that did drink, I'm sure that many of them stopped drinking when that revelation came. You see? Then the strongest one later came says that drinking is of the works of the devil. So stay away from it if you expect to be successful. That killed it outright. That was it. Muslims then would be punished, as Omar punished his own son. May God be pleased with Omar. He punished his own son because he was caught drinking. He was drinking. So Omar punished him in the public. Now, this wisdom, this gradualism, should still be used. But we shouldn't tolerate a person accepting to become the converted religion, doing anything that the Quran says not do. Once he says, I believe. Once he says, I believe, and he takes shahada, or he says, I believe. Once he says he believes, and he's a Muslim, then we can't tolerate him drinking, taking any intoxication. We can't tolerate him having adultery, doing adultery, having fornication, or gambling, or stealing. We can't tolerate any of that. Mm-hmm. Once the religion was established under Prophet Muhammad, then whoever accepted that religion, they also accepted the order of that society. It wasn't like it was at first, when it was itself developing. We have to understand that when Prophet Muhammad was receiving revelation, the religion itself was developing. But once the revelation were completed, the religion is completed. And the believers now are known to be not drinkers, not adulterers, not thieves. Now why would you say you want to be one of them and you still want to steal or drink liquor or smoke weed or do whatever it is, right? No, you're a hypocrite. You're just, why? I want to join you, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready, but can I become a Muslim? Yeah, you can. But if we catch you not ready, we're going to punish you. you don't have to stop drinking, but if we catch you drinking, we're going to punish you.
That's right.
So we have to understand that. But this gradualism still has to be used. You don't allow people to break these major laws and to do these things, but you have patience with them. You know, you don't punish them so hard if they come from ignorance. You don't be so severe with the law if they come from ignorance and you know that they're not people who have been trained or exposed to the kind of environment that would make them understand the sin and the wrong in these things, you know. So you have patience with them until they get more teaching. But you have to stand on the law.
Yes.
You don't say to the brother, well, brother, you knew, it's okay. Eventually you break that habit. You don't talk to him like that. He said, brother, you got a bad habit that's unbecoming of a Muslim. You have to stop this drinking. Mm-hmm. It's wrong.
That's
you're
right.
Following the devil's trap.
Yes.
You're falling into the devil's trap.
That's right.
That's the way you have to talk to him. You have to be firm. Let him know it's serious, very serious. He's breaking a serious law. But one that you know understands the religion, he's intelligent, he's been around long enough to see the harm, and he has heard enough khutbahs or enough lectures to see how serious this thing is. And then you catch him still drinking, and you feel like, all right, you tell him, get out. Get out. And leave us. You can't beat him. We don't have the law in our hands. We can't rip him out in the public. We can't tie him up to a tree and whip him in the public. So just tell them to get out of here. Stay right around us.
Right.
You want to spoil our community. Okay, but something else is mentioned here. That's why it's included in the road. Although the road problem is not given right here, the attention to the road problem is not given in this particular report on this particular thing. But there was a road problem too. They poured the wine in the road. They shouldn't have poured the wine in the road. Now the next chapter, what is said about the open courtyard of houses and sitting in them and sitting on the ways, that's on the roads, the public ways. Narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Quote, Abu Bakr got a mosque constructed in front of his house and used to pray and recite Quran there. The women and children of the pagans used to encircle him and were astonished at his behavior. The Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, was staying at Mecca during those days. Narrated Abu Sa'id, let me get the correct pronunciation. Al-Khudri. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, beware, avoid sitting on the roadway. The people said, quote, there is no way out of it, as these are our sitting places where we have talked. End quote. The Prophet said, peace and blessing be on him, quote, if you must sit there, then observe the rites of the way. They asked, quote, what are the rites of the way? He said, peace be upon him, quote, they are the lowering of your gaze and seeing what is illegal to look at. Refraining from harming people, returning greetings, advocating good and forbidding evil. Now that's what we have to do.
Yes,
right. We have to be that. We have to be like that. All right. One more from Hadith, and then we are going to go to something else. Now I'm turning to another book, Sahih Muslim. This is volume 3. This chapter here is titled Truthfulness in Transactions and Description of the Commodity. Now this is business area, right?
Mm-hmm.
This hadith clarifies the position that we find in hadith 3656 and brings before us the principles according to which the transactions are made. One has the right to withdraw from the bargain even if both the parties are separated. This is what one gathers from hadith 3656. This principle holds good if no definite decision is arrived at, or if both the parties have agreed upon this condition of withdrawal.
or if some defect is detected after leaving the place of transaction. This view is held by Imam Abu Hanifa, God be pleased with him, and other scholars of his school of thought. This view is supported by Hadith, in which some conditions have been laid down. According to Imam Nawawi, this hadith shows that separation implies bodily separation. The Prophet saying, both parties in a business transaction have the right to annul it so long as they have not separated. If they speak the truth and make everything clear, they will be blessed in their transaction. But if they tell a lie and conceal anything, the blessing on their transaction will be blotted out. Now, we read these things, but most of us don't try to relate things. Now, if you know something about the business law, business ethics, today in modern America, in the West, then you should be able to relate this to what is similar to it in our present world life. This civilization is thought of as being very advanced. It is just now that they require that proper labels be put on commodities, right? Yeah. Proper laboring, they was there. Yeah. If there's a defect, they'll tell it. If there's a harm, they'll tell it. They're just doing this, and this was done 1,400 years ago. Oh. Don't underestimate this religion. Okay, so much for that. Now, let's have a few simple comments. Thought-provoking comments. All of that is thought-provoking. But a lot of that is just clear, that's clear, plain guidance, right? No dark areas there. Now here comes some dark areas. When we do dhikr, we start with the little things. Right? You start on the little thing. Is there a reason? Can we start on the thumb?
No.
Can we start on the middle thing?
No.
What about the index thing?
No.
What about the ring thing?
No.
We can't start on anything? We have to start on the baby thing?
Yeah.
Why?
Faith.
Huh?
Hmm?
Women, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I can't get that one.
I think the only thing I can do is repeat what I heard from you.
Well, don't do that. Okay, let's see the hand. Yes, sir. It's the weakest thing. All right, next.
Smallest point.
Smallest point, what is that?
Shortest point,
you said. Next.
Start
with faith. All right. Yes, sir.
Represent the base, the foundation.
Base, our foundation.
It shows progressive growth.
Hmm?
Progressive growth.
Progressive growth.
We start with the little things in our life.
Start with the little things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
See all these good answers you get from me? Invite, comment, any more? Okay, whatever you get in this religion, try to first relate it to the historical, the history of religion itself, especially the people of the book, the Old Testament and New Testament. First try to relate it to that, because that's where direct reference is, but by interpretation or by further discussion or explanation, all of these things you're saying is true. In fact, everything I heard is true, as I understand it.
Right. for me now.
Yes.
I believe that the small thing also represents the small human being of the society. Probably calling me trying to pick him up to the better level.
Right. Now, how many fingers up do we have?
Five.
Four.
Four.
Five. Well, technically speaking in English, four fingers and a thumb. but the man that taught us this, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he didn't speak English. So five fingers, right?
Right.
Five fingers, and what we have? Three progressions.
Allah.
We go one, two, three, and then we go from that. One, two, three, and we go from that. Anybody have another comment? Yes, sir.
Does it represents the four major progressions of the prophets in religion?
No, there's another comment.
Three stages of
development. Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Three understanding,
you know,
when the people, physical,
spiritual, mental, and yeah, he said three stages of development. So, yes, sir, but...
Start
from the bottom. All right, start from the bottom. Put your hand. Just put your hand comfortably open like that. Tell me which one is on the bottom. Look at your finger. All right. All right. So see, you missed that. Look how high that finger is over the top. Yes.
The five pillars. I mean, in the Bible, mentioned the five stones.
Yes. Okay, five stones. There must be a connection. Five stones, where does five stones come from in the Bible?
The water.
Out of the water.
Right.
Right. So it's got to be something there. Right. Did anybody else? Yes. What do you mean,
ma'am?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You going to say the same thing? Right. All right. Right. Very good. Yes. The five senses. But the five senses, are throughout the life of human beings. Don't think of them just as feel, taste, sight, you know. But seeing is a function that goes further than just physical seeing, right?
Yes.
If I say there are five senses in every sense, could you accept that?
Mm-hmm.
If I say there are five senses in every sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's five, four, five.
Yeah. Because to see is to perceive.
Yes.
Right. To feel is to perceive, right? And really, when I see something, I can see something and be feeling with my sight, you know? Yeah, okay. So let's go to the language of the living. Nobody has said it yet. I'm going to see if Jared was going to say it for an hour. What would you say, Jared?
I was saying the same thing as support.
Support. Oh, I see, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. Here is what we want. Yes.
Jesus mentioned the Bible that the husband and wife, the fifth is not yours.
Yeah, he said you have had five husbands.
Five husbands.
And the one you have now is not yours. So that must have been a thick one. Yes, sir.
the man, the on speaking on the five simples, I hear it also said that five external simples along with five internal simples.
Right. That's right, but don't forget what we're talking about. We're talking about this little thing. Why do we start bickering on this little thing? There is anything that we know that can give meaning to that. Tell us why. I see him on hand. Yes, sir.
What
does
this man love to be all the senses.
This means
the smallest senses. The lowest senses
means
the
senses. I got this part. I got to get that.
Yes.
Yes, that's that. Mm-hmm. You must. You cannot get in the kingdom except that you come as a little child.
Says.
Says babes will come in where the wise and the prudent will be rejected. Mm-hmm. So then what that little thing must be there?
Faith.
Faith. We start with faith. Yes, faith. He said faith. Okay, there, that's right. We start with faith. Yes, sir. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. A baby is given into the charge of its parents. So that its parents will protect it until it reaches its maturity. And the only way that parent can provide that supervision and protection is that that babe has to have faith, has to have faith in the parent. That's right. So very good. So we start with the little finger. Faith. That's the only way to get in. Then you come to the fifth one. This one. This is, what is this thumb? What does this thumb suggest to any of you? Yes,
sir.
Conscience. Yes, but what else is this?
Free will.
I saw a hand over here. Yes. Strength. Yeah. Brother Sidney.
Balance.
Control.
Control.
It represents freedom. The thumb is free to go over all of them. But it's very difficult to take any of the rest of them and go over all of them. So one sense, there's one of the five senses that will free us. Now, we should think on that.
I love it.
All right, now we're opening up for just free discussion. Anybody raise your hand? Yes.
Hey, man, it makes you bigger 33 times.
Yes, sir.
And you go to your thumb, the last one represents freedom. Then you come back to this one. What is the significance of this?
This one? No, actually, you go here, 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 here. You don't come back to this one. You take this one and go here.
Sure. Make it how many numbers?
No, that's not. 15. That's 15.
Okay.
And then you go back again for 30.
Right.
And then you go back to the little one.
Right.
For 33.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end.
It's not there.
Love our
God.
Love our God.
Yeah, but when you say Allahu Akbar, don't stop there, because that's not you. You stop there.
That's right.
In the base of that.
That's right.
Right? For 34.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. I would like to ask you to comment on the reason why it takes two women as opposed to one man in witnessing in the Quran when it speaks of as a witness?
Yes, many explanations have been given, and all of them about the same. And the explanation is this, that men are seen as being as the Quran says, caretakers for women. Men protect women. Men are the stronger. So would you think that those who were whose needs were being provided for, would their testimony be as strong as those who are providing for their needs? Shouldn't be. But it has other meaning also. And that is that woman's life is one to man, two. And two and one makes three, right? Two and one makes three. So if you can see man and woman as three, like they say, woman has X, man has XY chromosome. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So if you make it them together, you got three, but man has two. Right?
Yes, sir.
Woman only has one.
Yes, sir.
In the chromosome now, I'm just giving
yes,
you some
yes,
thought. Yes, sir. That's something to think about. Now, woman, her experience is in the private life.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do we find her having knowledge about public situations, public life. So her world is one world, man's world is two. He's in the private life and also in the public life.
Allah.
So his testimony should be sought over one female.
Allah.
Yes. Yes, sir.
What is the price of Eid al-Fitr this year?
Well, we have to determine that ourselves, you know. And I think we should consider the area and the condition in the area. Some towns are fair and better economically. The people are fair and better in terms of jobs, et cetera, than others. A place like Houston, maybe it should be $20 for the meal.
Ready now. I'd like to know if looks like we have quite a few of us here from diversity of different communities from different cities. And I wonder, can we address a problem that is among us that would help us better support your mission and your community and bring us stronger together? I think all of us here have a love and respect for you, but how can we better get together ourselves? I wish if somebody could start addressing the problem of what's making this community not be as strong as it should be, and how we can better support you in your mission.
Well, let's hear some more comments. Let's see what somebody has to say. Yes, Imam Rahman.
Yes, well, you know, first I'd like to thank you for last week's comments on how to break the fast, moderate prayer, break the fast, moderate prayer.
Yes.
I always have a problem with myself. Now, but I still like to address when we kind of read prayer and look at prayer, new prayer, we should allow the people just to look at how the topic is done.
All right. Yes. First, let me just in case someone didn't get that, but we just had in the paper. When you break your fast, it's hard in the end of the day. When you break your fast, you don't break it with a meal. You break it with some natural food.
Right.
And you like to follow the Prophet and his habits of eating also, the way he broke the fast. So I had some dates. And I just ran out of them. I got a new box today. I ate the last one. I break it with bait and some water.
Yes, sir. Right.
And then I go do my mother's prayer. And after mother's prayer, then I eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's the way the prophet taught us. So that's first. That's the third thing. The next he asked about the prayers, the Sarawi prayers. Sarawi prayers are not an obligation. Prophet Muhammad never made them an obligation. In fact, the believers are really cautioned against performing those prayers to the extent that they become appear to be an obligation on everybody.
Right.
And for that reason, I haven't even been coming out at night. Because I know if I come out every night, the believer will think all of us have to do that. So until more of us get acquainted with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and know ourselves what Allah wants for us, then I have to myself be aware that people will be influenced to take to copy my habits, thinking that I'm following the Quran and Sunnah. And I may be doing nasty. Nasty means extra, on my own, you know. I may be doing something extra on my own, but if I start doing it, like sometimes I want to pray. I come to the message, sometimes I want to pray. I finish prayer, I finish that. Sometimes I want to stop and pray. If it wasn't for me setting some kind of a standard here, that I know I'll have to further explain, that look, when I did that, you didn't have to do that. I was just doing that on my own. So rather than have all that problem, I wait till I get home and I pray. Did he? Because the believers see me doing that, they don't know. They don't know what I'm saying. A lot of people just come in, they don't know. Well, the Muslim moon is backwards or forwards. They're just coming in, right? And they don't know anything about us yet. So I have to be aware of that. So Tarawih prayer, Tarawih prayer, Tarawih prayer. They are not an obligation. The night of power has been stressed so much that Muslims should feel that they should come out on the night of power and spend the whole night together until daybreak. You fed the prayer and then go home. Yes. And no, I'm not quite finished. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he used to devote himself not to the mosque but to a private place, his own home, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So that tells us that we should seek some privacy,
mm-hmm.
at least for the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you see. On the night of power, we come out together. But except for the night of power, those 10 nights, last 10 nights, we should do them at home, in privacy, with our family. That would be the best. But you could also, it is the Prophet Allah, that we come to the masjid and find solace, because many times the masjid is not that filled and there are peaceful, quiet people there, so you can do it. But the kind of traffic that we have, your peace might be broken. So it might be best to do it for us in America to do all at home. Come out on the night of power, that's it. When we do the prayer, they're done after each hair prayer. After each hair prayer. When we have finished each hair, it's Fard and it's Sunnah prayer, then we do the Tarawih prayer. And after the Tarawih prayer, we do the Witr prayer. And that concludes it. And I think we should do a minimum of 8 rak'ahs for Tarawih. And 3 witnesses. Is that? Yes, sir. This should be audited. Not.